Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. That was the short intro. I think Gino's on the road. He played the short intro, but I am here in studio live and with you. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to go through. Things are happening in this nation. Things are happening in the world. Not all negative, not all positive, because that's the way the world is. This is life on this spinning rock. And I think if anyone's looking for utopia, if anyone's looking for bliss, if anyone's looking for heaven, you're not going to find it here. This is not paradise. This is not heaven. This is not hell. This is life on this earth for a handful of years, in which we can either choose to serve the God of all creation, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in which we can either choose to humble ourselves at the foot of the cross and receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, or live for the now, live for the present, live for the flesh, and in so doing, reject the greatest gift that has ever been offered to anyone at any time in history. There is no greater gift that anyone can give you than what God offers freely, which is salvation. So yes, we are here, and another day has come and gone, another week has come and gone, and yet another adherent of the peaceful religion, the religion of peace, decided to be as brave as cowards in his skin can be, and mow down a handful of people on a bike path with a truck. And the thing that still astounds me, because it's going to happen more and more often, it's undeniable at this point, it's unavoidable at this point, because it's pointless to lock the barn doors once the horses are out, if you know that old adage. They're already here. They're biding their time. Apparently, this guy got so excited about the prospect of 70 virgins and whatnot that he couldn't wait any longer. So he went and he did what he did, and 8 people are dead. And what's troubling to me is that even now, with this having happened here, and it is by no means the first, terrorist attack on American soil. You had 9/11, you had the Boston bombing, you had the California shooters. These are all terrorist attacks. I don't care what anybody says. If you're an adherent of Islam, and while you're killing people, you're yelling Allahu Akbar, then you are a Muslim extremist, and you are a terrorist. And it's frightening how much everyone from the mayor of New York to newscasters to reporters are trying to provide cover for what is essentially a religion of violence and death. It's astounding to me how far they have to stretch and bend and do just mental gymnastics, the likes of which one rarely sees, in order to keep a straight face when they say it's a religion of peace. This is a frayed edge here or there. But all in all, they want to integrate and they want to be part of this diversity stew that we've created in America. No, they don't. And I'm sorry, but diversity isn't all that's cracked up to be. See, there's a reason that God treated Israel harshly every time they tried to incorporate diversity into their lives. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go through the Old Testament just a smidge. See what happens anytime the sons or daughters of Israel decide to become diverse and went and tried to incorporate other peoples and other nations into their way of life. There's a reason for it. Some things don't mix. Some ways of life, some thought processes, some traditions do not mix. Now, before I start getting the emails of the, oh my, he didn't say that, did he? No, I didn't. This is not about skin color. It's about a religion, a way of life, and a thought process that is incompatible with another. See, Israel served the one true God. Every other nation that surrounded Israel was given to idols. They served dead gods. And as much as Israel wanted to incorporate other nations into their lives, as much as they wanted to be diverse, because that's the buzzword of the day, apparently, the diversity, you couldn't blend the two. You couldn't have a people that were given over to idols and a people serving the one true God living in the same home or under the same roof and expect there to be peace and understanding and progress and, just coexistence, because that's another buzzword that just irritates me to no end, coexistence. So this is why every time Israel wanted to be diverse, God spanked them, for lack of a better term. Because you can't blend certain things together. Water and oil don't mix. And so to try to incorporate what is essentially a death cult into a nation that prides itself on freedom and liberty is a losing proposition. Yet you have the mayor of New York doing everything but saying that we should all convert to Islam because it's so great. Calling the guy, a man from Florida. Look, the guy, come on. Have you seen the picture? I know, don't judge a book by its cover. Well, sometimes you can. See, certain things are cliched and they're repeated so often that we don't realize there are exceptions to every rule as far as sayings go. So when you say don't judge a book by its cover, well, you know, if I see the word Holy Bible on the cover, I know what it is. If I see, Fabio on the cover, I know what it is. So let's not say don't judge a book by its cover. Some things are obvious to the naked eye without any more, I guess, inspection or investigation of deeper things. The man is what he is. He is a Muslim. He's proud to be a Muslim. He said he was proud of his accomplishment of killing 8 people with a truck, people who couldn't defend themselves, people who were out on a given day doing mundane things, living their lives. People who didn't for one second think that they wouldn't see another sunrise or another sunset. And even if that crossed their minds briefly, even if they contemplated that possibility, it's highly unlikely that they thought to themselves, I may end my day beneath the tires of a Home Depot panel truck driven by a Muslim man who thinks that his God desires my death. So this is getting more and more serious. We're having these attacks. Let's call them attacks. They're demonstrations of violence and hedonism is what they are. But we're starting to see them become more basic, and I think that's the thing that gnaws at me more than anything. All right, a bomb is a bomb. I get that. A guy with a gun walking into wherever and starting to shoot. All right, I get that. But using something as benign as a car or a truck, it's so basic, it's almost vulgar. Because you realize that even if you're a proponent of gun control and you pass every law under the sun where it's impossible to get a gun anywhere in this nation, which, by the way, is an impossibility because, again, that horse is out of the barn. There's no way you can take a billion guns from 100-some-odd million people. But, again, you can try. Not going to end pretty. But what are you going to do about somebody that gets behind the wheel of a truck and starts mowing people down on a breezy day in New York? What are you going to do about – are you going to outlaw cars? Are you going to outlaw trucks? Because if you outlaw cars and trucks and everybody has to use public transportation, I guarantee you those who want to take lives and snatch souls will find another means and way to do it. If he doesn't have access to a gun, he'll get a knife. If he doesn't have access to a knife, he'll find a pitchfork. They'll try to stab you with a sharp pencil if they've got nothing else. Because their bloodlust is something that you and I can't quite fathom or understand. See, no normal human being, for lack of a better term, can put themselves in this guy's shoes. No normal human being has gotten into a truck, turned the key, and said, "This is the day. This is the day I'm going to find people walking around with shopping bags or taking their dogs out for a walk or riding their bikes or whatever else they'll be doing. This is the day I'm going to find a place where people congregate. And then I'm going to barrel into them. And I'm going to hear their screams and the crunching of their bones. And I'm going to feel as their flesh gives way beneath my tires. And I will do it all in the name of Allah." Tell me a rational, logical human being that this crosses their mind and they're actually okay with thinking it. Never mind following through and doing it. And yet you have elected officials bending over backwards, trying to call this man anything but what he really is, and what he did, anything but what he really did. And that's the troubling thing. Because once you're able to identify an enemy, once you're able to define who the enemy is, then you can go about shoring up your defenses. Then you can go about actually protecting yourself. Then you can go about doing your utmost to not be a victim, to not be that hapless soul that ended up beneath the tires of a truck. But if, as a nation, we are unwilling to identify and define who the enemy is, what their intent is, and what we need to do in order to have some semblance of safety or protect ourselves, then this is just going to continue. So that happened this week. And I wish I could say, well, that was the worst of it. But I fear much, much worse will come. It is the way of the world we live in now. Men have given themselves over to violence. And you look around and you see just in people's eyes how close they are to snapping. There's this lack and absence of empathy, of charity, of kindness, of humanity that leaves me speechless on some days. And it's not just a geographical location, because I drive a lot, man. I go pretty much throughout. And it used to be that you saw this kind of thing just in big cities and certain neighborhoods. But now it seems to have seeped out even to small towns where you didn't think people wouldn't say a hi or give you a friendly smile. Everyone seems to be on edge. And there are some who continually try to fan the flames of this nonsense, who enjoy and revel in the idea of chaos. And as much as I want to hope against it, and as much as I try to tell myself for the sake of my children that we're a long ways away from seeing such things happening, from seeing violence spill over into the streets and being witness to things that we never thought we would be witness to. As much as I'd like to say, I think that that's a long ways off. I don't. It's not. It's not a long ways off. And it's probably closer than we want to believe. Look, when you read headlines such as most millennials believe that they'd be better off in a socialist or communist country than they are in a place like America, you get to wondering how much longer the sane people can keep insanity from overwhelming them. And I know that I said I wasn't going to talk about politics or politicians, but I've been getting emails and people have been poking at me. And I don't like getting poked. I'm not talking about Facebook poke. I don't get on Facebook. But they've been poking at me. Well, you were talking about voting and Trump. What do you think now? Stand by my decision. Markedly better off with this administration than with the other one. And I ran across an article last night, and it's a little old. It's from like October 25th, so about a week. But again, I'm going to read this to you, talk about it a little bit, but I want you to ask yourself this: do you believe this would have happened had the other side won? See, because I'm not looking for world-changing events to come forth from this administration. No, because they're not God. But little things do matter. And when I read this, I realized it wasn't such a little thing. And I'm going to read some of this to you, and I want you to think about it for yourself, because it's time to stop being childish about this. Those of you that are poking at me, I'm going to start poking back, and you're not going to like it. Because I have thick skin. I've been through the ringer so many times. I honestly don't care what you have to say about me. It doesn't affect my mood. It doesn't affect my day. It doesn't make me sadder or happier. I've been through it all a dozen times or more. As long as I know that I'm in the right, you can say whatever you want about me. But be forewarned, fair warning. See, I like to fight fair. I'm not going to sucker punch you. I'm not going to throttle you in the ear. So this is the fair warning now. If you keep poking, I'm going to poke back. And I will lay out the fallacy of your argument to such an extent that you will crawl under a rock and not come back out in 10 years. Because you've taken personal dislike of individuals and turned them into a theological debate. You've made a dogma. Shame on you for that. So, yes, I still stand by what I said 6 months and a year ago. I still believe it to be true. There has nothing that has happened that has made me say, uh-oh, I was wrong. Because I wasn't. And the following article should shed a little light on why I do not believe that I was wrong. Vice President Mike Pence announced Wednesday that President Trump ordered the State Department to stop funding ineffective United Nations relief efforts to combat the persecution of Christians in the Middle East, and that instead, the U.S. will help Christians directly through the U.S. Agency of International Development. Pence noted how the Obama administration spent over $1 billion in humanitarian aid to the Middle East, but sent the funding to various UN programs. So what this means for the layman is that instead of funding UN bureaucrats and their lifestyles, we're actually going to try to help persecuted Christians in the Middle East directly. I don't care what you say. I do not believe for an instant, for a nanosecond, that the previous administration wanted to help persecuted Christians in any way, shape, or form. There has not been an administration that led these United States that hated the God of the Bible and the people of the book with more vitriol and all-consuming ferocity than the administration that just left office. You were loathed. You were detested. If they could have, they would have put you on an island and set it aflame. You with your guns and your Bibles. You with your narrow-mindedness, not understanding the beauty of giving, I don't know, sex change drugs to three-year-olds. You who didn't understand the beauty of transgenderism. Or how necessary it was to share bathrooms with fully grown adult males who put on dresses. I guarantee you that never once in any conference of the past 8 years of the past administration did the persecution of Christians in the Middle East come up. The only thing that was being discussed is how do we get more Muslim immigrants into the United States? They weren't being persecuted. They were the ones doing the persecution. And yet they came by land and by sea. They came and came and came. And the Christians stayed and they got slaughtered and they got crucified and they got lit aflame. And $1 billion later to the UN, only thing that happened was more bureaucracy. Hormone replacement. That's the term I was looking for. So yeah. It's if you don't understand the beauty of hormone replacement therapy for three-year-olds, then you don't belong in this civilized society. At least that's what the previous administration's stance was. So here was Mike Pence about a week ago. Actually, 8 days ago yesterday, 7 days ago yesterday, so 8 days ago, announcing that we would no longer be funding ineffective United Nations relief efforts to combat the persecution of Christians in the Middle East, and instead the U.S. will help Christians directly. Now, another thing that I saw a couple weeks ago that we didn't talk about, but since y'all started poking, haha, daddy's poking back. We heard the word Christmas for the first time from a U.S. president in, what, 5-6 years. And not just heard the word Christmas, but this current president insisted that we would say Christmas again. And Merry Christmas. I know. Again, with the emails. Oh, well, that stands for Christ Math. Get over yourselves. Come on. This is not a debate on when Jesus was born. See, you can't see the forest for the trees. You can compartmentalize certain things and underneath and underline go, hey, this was positive. So I'm not having the debate over Christ Mass because I've gotten those emails too. See, look, on the one side, the world is trying to muzzle Christians. On the other side, Christians are trying to muzzle themselves. Oh, we can't say Christmas anymore. Why? Between not saying Christmas and saying Christmas, I choose to say Christmas. I'm not talking about bunnies or, oh, that's Easter. Never mind. I'm not talking about Santa and trees. I'm talking about just the word Christmas. Say Merry Christmas. And they say Merry Christmas. Do you know what we're saying it for? Well, you know, 2,000 odd years ago, Son of God was born in a manger of a virgin. He came to save mankind. It's an open door. Use it. Share. Nope. Not going to say it. Happy holidays. It's this mental midgetry that has me just steaming. Because we go off on these tangents. Men with too much free time on their hands and just not enough sense concoct. They just concoct these things out of thin air. And then they put them on Facebook and they start prophecy websites. And they make you feel guilty for saying the word Christmas, Lord forbid. You're going to hell. You're going to hell if you say Christmas. Really? Can we grow up, please, please, please? Can we? Because this is getting so out of hand ridiculous, it's not even funny anymore. It's not even comical anymore. It's just sad and pathetic. And we beat this drum until we get weary and then we find another drum to beat. What was it? I'm not going to say Jesus anymore either. I'm only going to use his Hebrew name. I know. Some of you, oh, I'm never listening to this again. That's fine. This is your reality check. Grow up. Stop with the nonsense. Stop believing what people want you to believe or what they whisper in your ear because they have the one thing no one else has. Like all those people that kept insisting, the rapture's coming. Why aren't you telling people that the rapture's coming? Why? Because some nut bar said it? Still here? What happened to nut bar? I guarantee you nut bar's coming up with a new theory. And it shall be revealed and unveiled shortly. And a new date or a new event or a new something. Because they have to keep you either in fear or in expectation. That's how they control you. And yet the Word of God tells us that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So I'm not afraid of an EMP attack or whatever else is supposed to happen, what, November 4th or 5th? Planets aligning again. Uh-oh. Magnetic field will disrupt the ozone layer. Poles are going to shift and we're all going to die. Come on. Even if that happened, what can I do to change that? Absolutely nothing. And so I will serve my God in spirit and in truth. I will be the head of my household. I will provide for my family. I will work while it is day, and I will preach the gospel of Christ. Because for me, to insist upon something that I cannot control through either prayer or repentance is to try to sow fear in the hearts of individuals. And that is not what God has called us to do. God has not called us to sow fear in the hearts of men. Ha-ha, though, I got you there because you're talking about America burning. All that time talking about America burning. Yes, because it was an outcome that could have been prevented through repentance. The reason for the message was that God was calling a nation to repentance so he wouldn't have to judge it by fire. Again, if what you are speaking cannot be changed or affected by prayer or by repentance, then you're simply doing it to sow fear in the hearts and minds of men. Shame on you. If we're going to get poking, kids, you better get a face mask, because I poke hard. I may be a docile little teddy bear, but man, don't. I know the tricks of your trade. I fought them my entire life. I can do a better job at the crap that you sell than you can. I choose not to because I fear God. Is that clear enough? I can come up with better theories on my worst day than you can come up with on your best day. But I don't want to keep people in bondage or afraid or with their heads down and somber because they're afraid to say Jesus because God's going to strike them dead for not using his Hebrew name. I fear God. I do what I do out of obedience. But don't think I'm your doormat. I will poke back. So yes, I still stand by everything I said thus far. Let's continue with the article, shall we? Pence outlined how the UN was neglecting vulnerable communities, especially religious minorities, and said persecuted Christians in the Middle East have not been getting the relief they need. Surprise, surprise. From the UN.
Oh, but how can we vote for a man who said what he said?
Who wasn't it these self-righteous Hollywood stars that were just apoplectic?
The children are listening.
Well, at least the children weren't screaming from being violated by you perverts. All of these people that got on their moral high horse, you remember that? All of these self-righteous, hypocritical, hedonist, perverted people that should be in prison now. And Christians going along with it.
Oh, look, even Hollywood saying that it's no good.
Gotcha. Aha. I know, it's one of those nights. I apologize. Next week will likely be better. But I had to get this off my chest because, again, The poking. You poke me, I poke you back. So let's finish this article, get on to something else, because there's more to talk about. Oh, yes, there is. All right, so Pence outlined how the UN was neglecting vulnerable communities, especially religious minorities, and said persecuted Christians in the Middle East have not been getting the relief they need. My friends, those days are over, Pence said Wednesday at the In Defense of Christians annual solidarity dinner for Christians in the Middle East in Washington, D.C. That's a long title, but there's something that we need to address here. The vice president of these United States actually went to a dinner that had the word Christians and defense of Christians in the title. Let that sink in. And if you don't think that's a markedly different stance and action than the previous administration, or what would have been had the other side won, then you are living in a parallel universe and you are stripped of logic and reason. I pity you. So, yes, the vice president of the United States actually went to a dinner in defense of Christians and solidarity for Christians in the Middle East. It wasn't the dinner to celebrate, I don't know, one-legged transgender albinos. It wasn't a dinner to celebrate transitioning homosexual, bisexual priests. It was actually something wholesome. He went to a dinner that is held annually, and as its umbrella has the defense of Christians in the Middle East as its agenda. And Pence continued his speech and said this: our fellow Christians and all who are persecuted in the Middle East should not have to rely on multinational institutions when America can help them directly. Tonight, it is my privilege to announce President Trump has ordered the State Department to stop funding ineffective relief efforts at the United Nations, and from this day forward, America will provide support directly to persecuted communities through U.S. aid, he added. Pence also shared that he will visit the Middle East in December, where he said he will tell various leaders that it is time to bring an end to the persecution of Christians and religious minorities. Peace agreements with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Well, that's a little stretchy for me, because that's never going to happen. He can discuss it. One side will always decide to throw a rock or a rocket, because it has been thus since the invention of rocks and rockets. However, the fact that this present administration is not merely concerned with the persecution of Christians, but actually doing what they can in order to help the persecuted Christians of the Middle East, again, a net gain. Nobody is trying to equate the persecuted Christians of today with the Crusades. Nobody's trying to equate Islam and Christianity and say, well, you know, everybody's got their, you know, people who do naughty things. Just the tone of it all, the tone of it all should make you realize that one choice was better than the other. No. No, how dare you? We should have just let it burn. As soon as possible, let it burn. Because that's what the Bible says. It doesn't say to work while it's day. It doesn't say to cry aloud. It doesn't say to agonize over the lost and the dying, to shove them into the pit faster. And I know the argument. Well, you know, it's put Christians back to sleep. No, Christians were always asleep. Those that were asleep stayed asleep. And if you are a so-called Christian and have been asleep for the last two decades, then I really don't know how much of a Christian you really are. So let's not make that argument because it's flawed. A true Christian is awake, whether in good times or bad. A true Christian is awake, whether he is given freedom to preach the gospel or he is being persecuted for preaching the gospel. A true Christian is awake perpetually because he knows that sooner or later they will suffer persecution. And so what they do in times of freedom, what they do in times of peace, is thank God for the season of freedom that they have and continue doing the work of the kingdom, all the while keeping their eyes open and preparing their hearts for the eventuality of what is to come, which is persecution, because they go back to the Word, and the Word says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Not a handful, not some, not half, not 90%. And so if you believe that I'm less of a Christian because I'm not sad over the fact that I didn't get persecuted sooner, then you're free to have that belief. I, however, don't think that your belief is logical, because I'm not supposed to desire persecution, to desire the will of God for my life. And if the will of God for my life is to have a season in which to preach the gospel peacefully, then I'm not going to shake my fist at the heavens and go, why didn't you send people to beat me up? Why? Why didn't you send people to put me in prison and kill me? Because that would be foolish. I'm going to thank God for the season that he's given me, and I'm going to do my utmost to be an ambassador of the kingdom and preach the gospel of Christ to all who would hear. It's not a bad thing, and it's not a negative thing that we are able to preach the gospel without fear of persecution for yet another season. And anyone who tells you that it is, quite frankly, needs to have their head checked. Because my desire is not to suffer or die. My desire is to live for Christ and do so in perpetuity. My desire is to bring glory to the name of God the Father. And if by living my life in peace I bring glory to him, then praise God. If by suffering for his name's sake I bring glory to God, then praise God. If by dying for his name's sake I bring glory to God, then praise God. But whether it's one or the other, I'm not going to question God as to the timing of it. I'm not going to be angry at God for not sending one instead of the other. My constant drive will always be the glory of God through me. That's it. So this desire to be persecuted, let's dial that back just a smidge. And the whole argument that because this administration, one, it's lulled Christians back to sleep. They were never awake to begin with. Let's not fool ourselves. So, yes, we can say Merry Christmas. And persecuted Christians in the Middle East will likely get more help than they would have had the system been allowed to stay in place and the money funneled through the UN and dispersed to, well, you know, bureaucrats. And, you know, I can just hear the wheels turning because some people make such absurd arguments. Well, you can see that that's evil. You're trying to keep them from being persecuted. Why would you do that? Because it's our duty to help our brothers in Christ if and when we can. Because someone's hardship or trial may be allowed in their lives to test your response to their circumstance. In layman's terms, God may have allowed my neighbor's house to burn down to see if I would open up my home and let them use my spare bedroom. That may not have been the only reason, but it would have been one of the reasons. I know that sounds like an extreme example, and I will likely get emails from that too. However, if you think it through logically, sometimes we come across people who are in dire circumstances at just the right moment, and you can feel it. You know that they came across your path at that particular moment so that God would see what you do, how you react, whether you give them that glass of water, whether you give them that loaf of bread, whether you give them that coat off your back, or you find an excuse and a reason not to. There's a lot of people that are all talk and no action, especially in Christian circles. There's a lot of folks out there. They're big talkers. No action. I have no respect for that. See, ever since I was 12 years old, I grew up in an environment where everything was action-oriented. We didn't talk much, but we did as much as we humanly could. See, the reality is that even now, we make public maybe 5% of what we do as a ministry to help people. Because if we laid out the case for every family that we helped and every home that we bought and every truckload of firewood that we purchased and everything else that we did, we'd have entire volumes to send out to our supporters every other week. But see, we've kept the mindset throughout these many years that it's not about the talking, it's about the doing. It's not about pointing to what we did and say, look, this is what I did today. Consistently doing the work day after day after day, knowing that God sees, knowing that I don't have to blow my own trumpet regarding the things that I do for the kingdom. Knowing that me trying to get other people's attention and get them to see what I do is an issue of pride on my part and does nothing to further the kingdom of God. See, you do the work because you know God sees the work that you do. And knowing that God sees the work that you do, you don't have to trumpet it. You don't have to boast about it. You don't have to beat your chest. You don't have to advertise it. God knows. And if God knows, that's enough. That's more than enough. Because it is God who rewards your faithfulness. It is God who rewards your good works, not man. Man can pat you on the back and say nice things, make you feel good about yourself because, oh, you're one of the good guys. Look at all the good stuff. You planted a tree? That's amazing. An entire tree. You planted a tree. But nobody knows about the guy that plants a whole forest. Because he doesn't have the time to go tell everybody that he planted a tree. He's got more trees to plant. See, those that boast about their accomplishments, most of the time, are the ones doing the least for the kingdom of God. Let that sink in. This is one of those truisms that I should put on a t-shirt. Those that boast about their accomplishments are likely the ones doing the least for the kingdom of God. Because those that are actually doing the work of the kingdom are too weary at the end of the day to boast about anything. They just go to their cot or their futon and try to grab a few hours of sleep knowing that morning comes and a new day arrives and they have to get back to work. They're not going to take a season to boast about what they did the day before because tomorrow is a new day. And that new day requires more energy and more focus and more determination. It requires more energy and more labor. It requires you to treat every single day as the first day of your labors, as the first day of your struggle, as the first day of your journey. Because in that mindset and in so doing, you'll put forth as much energy as you possibly can, and you'll put your hand to the plow, and you'll push and push and push, because in your mind and in your heart, you're fresh. This is the first day. So treat every day as the first day. Do your utmost to do the work, not talk about it. Do your utmost to plow the field. Not tell everyone you come across how you sharpen the blades of your tiller. That does nothing. It's once you've plowed the field that you can plant the seed. And once you've planted the seed, well, you've got a long way to go before you see a harvest. We need more doers and less talkers. We need more people who understand that time is a finite thing. And no man lives forever. And today may very well be my last day or your last day. And when I close my eyes for the final time on this earth, I want to know that I spent that day doing the most that I could for the kingdom of God. That I left it all out on the field. That I worked. That I preached. That I lived. That I brought glory to the kingdom. and that I will hear that blessed voice saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We had a lot more stories to get to. Apparently, we're not going to get to any of them, but thank you all for listening. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate the emails. I appreciate the kind words. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may wisdom grow in your heart. Until next time, may God bless you. Gino, it's all yours.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Very sobering show tonight. Very truthful. And absolutely can't agree more with what Mike's been saying. Poking. I think his poking was good tonight. And it's like the word of God says, we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And I'm with Mike. I will say Merry Christmas. And I will defend an administration that actually cares about the persecuted church. And I think it was a great show on every level, on illuminating how so many people have fallen for goofy foolishness and fear-mongering and really fleecing the wool right off the sheep in the name of the Lord. And I tell you what, let your friends know about the show. Tell your church. It will be online tomorrow. Light of Truth, thank you so much for listening. And again, get the word out, because this is a radio show that people need to hear and meditate on what's been said. God bless you. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.